to listen to the second half of my interview with Bruce Poliquin, who talked about his candidacy for the governor of Maine. Henry Joy put in a bill last year calling for a county form of government, which is something that I guess a lot of other states really have. We don't have such strong county here. Have you given any thought at all to that, or were you even aware that was going on?
I have given it some thought, Michelle. If you look at our federal constitution, clearly it gives the power to the citizens, and if the citizens can't deal with those issues, then it morphs to the states, and then only the federal government gets involved when the states and the individuals really are unable to address those issues. Now, when it comes to a county form of government, I'm a strong believer in keeping control at the local level, whether it be for land use issues, property rights issues, educational issues, and so forth and so on. I would have to look much more closely at what has been proposed, and I don't think there's anything seriously on the table. I know there's been a discussion about replacing Newark with a county form of governance. I'd have to look much more closely at that. I would tell you, Michelle, that as governor, I would weigh these issues very closely, very carefully, and make the best decisions I could. But I'm not in a position to tell you if I would support it or not.
Okay. At least you're aware. That's far, far more than many people are. Maine's use tax has, in the opinion of many, become a bludgeoning instrument. Northern Maine's a little bit different than Southern Maine. There are probably a lot more smokers in Northern Maine. And I know many of them who lately have been hit with use taxes for cigarettes bought over the internet over the last 3-4 years. Those use taxes in some cases going into the thousands of dollars. Do you have any thought on that sort of punitive kind of taxation, or whether or not that should be a way that we raise our money?
The average household in Maine earns $16,000 less per year than the median household in the state of New Hampshire, right over the border. We need to be serious about reducing taxes for our citizens. Now, I don't smoke. I never have. But it's none of my business, Michelle, if you do. It is unconscionable that over the past 20 or 30 years, the knee-jerk reaction we've had in the legislature and by our elected officials in general is to solve every problem with a new tax. We are taxed to death, Michelle. And as a result, businesses don't take us seriously for investment. Young people are leaving. Retirees are leaving. When are we going to get it here? I get it. So when it comes to any level of taxation or new tax, I do not support it, period.
School consolidation.
That is a very painful issue. If you look at the analysis done on the state governance, we clearly have a problem with our education system in the state. Now, I can be a little detailed here, and I hope you give me a little bit of leeway here, Michelle, but thank you. Let's take a broad look at our education problems in the state and then morph into the consolidation issue. 50% of every dollar we spend in the state is on education. We have four parts of our education program in the state. K through 12 is over 90%. That's the biggest part of what we spend in education. Then we have the university system, community college system, and adult ed. So if we look at the biggest part of the education budget, which is K through 12, which refers to your question also, we also realize that we have the seventh highest cost per student in the country in education. So clearly, by any metric, we are spending an enormous amount of money for K through 12 education in the state. Now, I'm a product of both public and private education. I know how important a good education is for self-fulfillment, for happiness, stay awake from substance abuse, poverty, every social metric you can look at. It is critical that we give our kids in this state the best education we can. And I would be an advocate for that in the Blaine House. That being said, we just talked about how expensive it is in Maine. Now let's look at our performance. And a businessman will look at it this way, Michelle, not a career politician, if I may be so bold. We have an average high school graduation rate. We have a below average college matriculation rate. And 51% of the enrollees in our community college system must take remedial courses because they're not ready for college.
Really?
So we have a product that is not performing based on how much money we're putting into this. So what do we do about it? If you look at the analysis done by McKinsey & Company, which is the global consulting firm, on the state of Maine, it is hard to get this data. I have gotten it, and I've read it. The problem we have in our K-12 education is not what we pay the teachers in class. We have to pay them more. That is a tough job, it is a thankless job in many ways, and it is one that is desperately needed to make sure we improve our workforce in the state. However, the issue we have in Maine is administrative costs. We have a top-heavy administrative overhead expense in the state of Maine. It's not what we pay the teachers, it's the administrative overhead. So, that being said, school consolidation is a very painful issue in this state, especially in rural areas. However, we must be serious about really getting a handle on these overhead costs. Now, I'm not sure I would have done it the same way our administration has done in Augusta, but the governor is on the right track when it comes to trying to get a handle on overhead expense. We have to get that down in order to come up with a better product, have more resources where we need it, instead of administrative overhead.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you think might be important to our listeners?
Yes, I think, thank you for asking. I think it's important, Michelle, to point out what has not worked in this state. It's very easy to point out what will work, but let's look at what has not worked. We know that holding up a banner and saying Maine is open for business, bring your companies and jobs to Maine. Our nonprofits and our state government has done that for 30 years with very poor results. Our next governor must be someone who is independent-minded, is informed, has the education and experience to address the root causes of why we can't compete with other states for good jobs. I have that skill set. I've been trained in economics and finance. I'm a business manager. I understand that. So we need to not only, Michelle, reduce our taxes, we need to be dead serious about controlling our costs. Because if we can get our costs under control and live within our means, then that will support tax reductions. And then we will have the assets that we need to focus on our high energy costs, to focus on coming up with a better educational service and experience for our citizens. We can focus then on health care costs that are out of control. We can focus then on completing our infrastructure. Let me give you an example. I live in Georgetown, which is not too far from Bath. I had to move my office, Michelle, from Georgetown to Falmouth because I'm tired of sitting at my computer eating chocolates waiting for dial-up.
Yep.
I was able to move my office. There are some folks that come up to Maine and say, you know, this is a great place to live. I'd love to raise my kids here. I send my kids to camp here, maybe. I've certainly vacationed here. But when you start flipping over the rocks and you say, it's a very expensive, complicated place to do business, I just can't make it in this state. We need to address those problems. I don't even try to make a cell phone call on 127 South from Five Islands to Bath because I can't get connections. So we need to get serious about these issues, and these issues will only be addressed, or best be addressed, by a business manager. I might also say, Michelle, that in part of your question about why I'm running, is I'm a native Mainer. Our family has been in this state since the late 1800s. Both sides of my family came from Canada. We're French-Canadian and very proud of it. We settled in the central part of our state in Waterville, where I grew up, and went to the public schools and played hockey for the high school. My mom and dad are still with us. They were born and raised in Waterville. And that is important to your listeners, I hope, Michelle, because the people of Maine are telling us they are most comfortable with someone who is a native of Maine, who has a long history in the state with deep roots, and who understands the state and the hardworking people that live here. And that best comes from somebody who is a native. Now, I cannot say that all of my opponents in this race are natives of Maine. They are not. I am. And I have the unique qualifications, I think, to help this state going forward.
Bruce, I hope I get to interview you later on in the campaign process. I wish you good luck. And thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Michelle. I hope your listeners will take a look out their window and see our campaign bus that is taking me all across the state. It is a 10-year-old motorhome that was behind a barn. We got the mice out of it, inflated the tires, put some lettering on it, and we are doing more with less, which is exactly how I grew up, and we look forward to reaching out to everybody in the state.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
So there it is, the second half of my chat with Maine gubernatorial candidate Bruce Poliquin. I hope you'll listen to us next time when we bring you another podcast which addresses the concerns of those of us who are north of Bangor.